The Australian Open's been fantastic as usual. We're at the final stage with the women, Lina against Dominika Sibulkova, and the men, Rafael Nadal versus Stanislas Wawrinka. The man we've got on the line to preview both matches is Nick Lester, fresh back from LA. Nick, you settled back into the UK weather?
Just about, maybe, just about.
It's a bit different, isn't
trying
it?
Trying to avoid it as best I can, I think is the best way to describe it.
Just keep watching the tennis, that's the best way.
Exactly.
Well, let's talk about the women's final first of all. This is at 8:35 UK time on Saturday morning, that's the 25th of January. Lina is priced up at 3-1 on to beat Dominika Sibulkova, who is 9-4. The head-to-head sees 4-love in Lina's favour. The last time they played was last year in Toronto on a hard court when she won 7-6, 6-2. In fact, Sibulkova's only taken one set off her in their head-to-heads, and that was way back in 2010 on clay. She's done fantastic to get this far, Sibulkova, or Sibulkova, as I've heard her called today. Call her what you will. She's had a great tournament. Is this as far as it goes for her? Because Lina knows about being at this stage, doesn't she, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's certainly on the face of it, Lee, how you probably have to look at it, isn't it? I mean, obviously, she's played a great tournament. It's interesting. I mean, Sibulkova has won 6 matches, Lee, in her 5 previous Grand Slams, and now she's won 6 in a row and won. So yeah. as consistent a player as she has been, you know, over the years, you know, she's made the quarters of all the majors. She hasn't really played that well in the last 12 months or so. And obviously this run in some ways has come a little bit out of nowhere. I think, as you say, you know, if you look back at the final last year, Lina probably should have won the final last year. And I said that earlier on in a preview we did earlier on when she lost to Azarenka, you know, had she not fallen over a couple of times and had obviously the issues there, she probably would have beaten Azarenka in truth. You know, she obviously conditions very much suit her. And again, something I alluded to earlier in the preview, I think at her age now, you know, when these players get to 31, 32, every Grand Slam they play, Lee, becomes more significant because they know they may only hit, Lina may only have 7 or 8 Grand Slams left in pocket. So each Grand Slam becomes more and more important. I think for her, the big hump match was the Safarova match. You know, she was 2 inches away from going out of the tournament. Lucy Safarova hit a backhand down the line that missed by 2 inches on match point. And it's so ironic, isn't it, at times in majors. You know, it's such a cliche. We talk about these marathons of majors getting through the seven hurdles, but there was always one match. You look back at it and you reflect on it, and I think that to me was Lina's hump match. You know, she, ever since that match against Safarova, she's been brilliant. You know, to beat Makarova as comfortably as she did was very impressive. And I think, as you say, she is a warm favourite for this one. Experience alone is going to count for a lot, you feel. I think, you know, I talked about Carlos Rodriguez a lot, her coach, and I saw some quotes today from him saying that, you know, he's going to make sure she thinks of it as just another match. Now, again, these cliches always come out, but I think he has such a good way with her. They've had such a good relationship that I do think he can have a really good impact. And I think last year will help the fact she lost. So I think, you know, everything to me points to a Lina victory.
When you look at the results between the two of them, as I said, Lina's got the edge over her. It's clear. But in the last match they played, I mentioned there was a 7-6. There was a tiebreak in the game before that. There was a 7-5 in the match before that, and in the game before that was 6-3 to Lina. So it's not like it's, you know, she doesn't whitewash her. She doesn't hammer her. It's, with that in mind, would you go 3 sets? Would you be tempted for 3 sets?
You know,
or would you go long in the games?
It's interesting. I mean, I think a lot depends on the start. I mean, if you talk about the matchup in terms of trying to break this one down, Sibulkova hits a very big forehand. You know, for her size, she hits a weighty forehand. She has the ability to dominate opponents. Lina, what does she do well? She keeps the ball to a brilliant length. She can almost suffocate you. She's a little bit like the Del Potro of the women's game, in that when she plays well, it's very hard to know how to play against someone like that because she keeps the ball to a great length. She can move you around very, very well. Sibulkova will try to look to dominate the rallies, what she did against Radvanska. I have to say, I was surprised by the win against Radvanska, but again, she played very well, and she, more than anything else, was able to dominate the rallies. So this is going to be about both players trying to get up on the baseline as much as they can and dictate play. The concern I have, as I always do when you look at a player who's playing their first time at a major, is experience. You know, that's the unknown factor. That's the X factor in this one, isn't it? We don't know how Sibulkova is going to play. You talked about their matchups before. I would agree they've been close. I it strikes me, actually, that Sybil Kerr is not the sort of person that's going to be overawed. She's quite a, you know, I guess when you're 5 foot two, 5 foot three, and with all due respect, you've got quite a few hurdles to overcome in your career anyway. You know what I mean? Mm. So I think she's the sort of person that will probably rise to the occasion. So do you know what? It wouldn't surprise me if she got a set. I still think that everything points for me towards a couple of close sets for Lee Na. But again, I think if I were to lay my money down, I'd be going two close sets for Lee Na. But I think the first set is key. Sybil Kerr, if she can take that first set, anything can happen, obviously.
Yeah. So Lee Na, 2-love is 5-6. If you think Sybil Kerr can grab one set, then Lee Na 2-1 is 3-1. And we're just talking about tiebreaks there. If you think there will be a tiebreak in the match, one tiebreak in the match is 100-30. Let's have a look at the men's side of things. Rafael Nadal versus Stanislas Wawrinka. 1-6 Nadal, 4-1 Wawrinka. Nadal's record over Roger Federer at Grand Slams is just superb, and he did it again. I mean, you know, Federer's playing as well as we've seen him for a little while, Nick, and he started off great. You know, he looked like he was in control. Nadal just wore him down, didn't he?
Well, great quote from Federer, wasn't there, at the end of the match in his press conference, where he said, you cannot play against Rafa. You cannot imagine playing Rafa. You cannot compare playing Rafa to playing Murray or Songa or any of those guys. And I think that's such an honest and significant quote from Federer, and that really gives you an insight into the matchup that those two have. You know, again, I talked about this before. We know how Rafa dominated. Hand on heart, I thought Roger would come close to that. I really did. I thought the way he's played and the way he's attacked against Murray and Songa, the way he's come to the net has been relentless. But, you know, first couple of sets, look how many times Rafa is passing the guy, you know. And we often talk about, you often hear cliches in commentary of, you know, he can't keep coming up with those passes. Well, Rafa can. You know, Rafa can right now. Yeah. And that's the sort of form he's in. You know, he's not afraid.
No.
For me, his hump match was the Dimitrov match. I didn't think he played well at all against Dimitrov. I really didn't. The form was shaky. The serve was shaky. There were parts of that match where he didn't look good for me. You know, he really didn't. And that, for me, gave Federer a bit of hope. But I think that was his hump match.
Yeah.
It is an interesting one, this, though, you know, because, you know, you go back in the head-to-heads, the last three sets these two have played, as I'm sure you're aware, have been tiebreaks, does make it interesting.
It does, and do you know what? I mean, I looked at that and thought, that's interesting, because, I mean, the stat that everyone's throwing around at the moment is that Wawrinka not only hasn't ever beaten Rafa Nadal, he's never taken a set off him, has he? Which is staggering in that many matches. They've played a load of matches together.
Yeah.
When you're right, 7-6, 7-6, 7-6, and in the last in the last two matches, there was a 6-1 he won. But when you look at only the hardcore matches between them throughout their career, 7-6, 7-6, 7-6, 6-1, 6-4, 6-4, 7-6, 6-3, 7-6, 7-6, the first match they ever played was 6-2, 6-2, 6-2 in 2007. We could probably excuse Wawrinka that one. It was in the Australian Open. But they're very close sets on hard courts, aren't they?
Yeah, and I also think you've got a Wawrinka of 2013 that was a completely different player to the Wawrinka of 2011. This is a different guy.
Yeah.
You know, I think what Magnus Norman's done for him has been enormous. You know, and you know, the fascinating dynamic in this is Magnus Norman was coaching Robin Söderling when he was the only player ever, still remains, to beat Rafa at the French Open. And that's an interesting dynamic, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and you look at that and say, well, that's, you know, there's some possibilities there. And I think that says a lot about Norman's coaching abilities more than anything else. You know, I often talk in commentary about how coaches are overrated, and I think they are, but I think, you know, it's that 0.1% of difference that Norman has given Wawrinka a bit of belief in himself and said, listen, kid, you're good. You know, let's not be afraid anymore. We saw that last year, and, you know, both these guys are unbeaten this year. You know, both having won Chennai and Doha respectively, so they're going to have a guy that's unbeaten going after the Aussie. I think there's value in Wawrinka getting a set. I think the odds are about, I had a look a minute ago, I think about even money. I think that's pretty good odds on Wawrinka to get a set because, you know, he's had set points in the last three sets they've played. So those 7-6 sets, those last three sets, well, I think it was 7-6, 6-1 in Shanghai, but 7-6, 7-6 in London. Guy's getting close. You know, this is not this. Yes, it's a Grand Slam final, but you know, you've got to look at the facts as well. Wawrinka's beaten Novak Djokovic, who is, for my money, the best player on hard courts in the world. You don't get that by luck. He didn't win that by luck. He won that by sheer quality, and he backed that up against Burdick. This guy, despite the head-to-head, has a real shot in this match. I genuinely believe that. I think Rafa will come through because I think, you know, again, having seen the way he played against Federer, I think he's again on an upward curve, and again being a Grand Slam final, it's pretty rare you win your first Grand Slam final, as I always say. Look at the facts. You know, go back. I think Del Potro was one of the few guys in the last decade to have won a major at his first attempt. So I think that is against you. But I think if you're looking for some value in the bet here, Wawrinka to get a set for me at even money is not a bad offer. Or I think it was something like 2-1 for Nadal to win 3-1. Something around that money would be all I'm looking for.
Yeah, 5-2 it is for Rafael Nadal to win 3-1. Yeah, and I can see you. You're not saying Wawrinka's going to win this, but there's something in you, Nick, that's saying that he has got a chance. But the 4-1 isn't quite big enough, is it, to drag you in and have a bet on him to win the match? That's the problem, isn't it?
No, and again, it's the same old thing. It's you know, for me, it's about how is he going to manage this occasion? How is he going to manage a first Grand Slam final? This is not a round robin match at the O2. This is playing for a Grand Slam, and that is something that you and I we're not going to know. I mean, the good news is, at 28 years of age, there's been a fair bit of water under the bridge in his career for him. So it's not as if he's a complete rookie coming out here at 21 playing his first major. He's played a lot of tennis, you know. But he has a game to trouble Nadal, no doubt about it. Serves big, can unsettle Nadal from the back of the court. Ground strokes are bigger than Federer's, forehand and backhand. This guy has got as much game on his day than anyone in the world. And look at the results that he's had, you know. I don't care how Djokovic played them when they lost. Wawrinka took it to him. And that, you know, that was a big hump match for me. And I think Wawrinka does have a shot here. But I think that, you know, you just have to stick with Nadal. You cannot go against the head-to-head of 12-0. That's a little crazy. But I do think Wawrinka's ready to get a set at least.
Yeah, nice bets. Nick, thank you very much for your time.
Pleasure.
It should be very, very enjoyable watching both these finals. Hopefully the outsiders both give the odds-on favourites a real go for it. That one's, of course, at 8:35 on Sunday morning, the 26th of January. Thank you for Nick. His previews of the final and the rest of the tournament as well. We'll be speaking to Nick Lester for the next major tennis tournament. In the meantime, if you want to listen to any more of the betting commentaries, then check out In Play Radio. It's on daily 2 till 10 and weekends 12 p.m. till 10 p.m. Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you're having a bet on either of the finals, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.